Now this one dedicated to man them call MacGyver. And no 007 James Bond spy man inside the area. Maximum respect to man them call Ice Cube. And no bus, no deuce, deuce, no trade, bus, no flow. Wicked.
CKLN listeners, it is the 9th day of March 2010. This is your host BK, aka Black Krishna, here on CKLN Radio 88.1 FM, CKLN.fm online, or Rogers Cable Box 947 in the Greater Toronto area. The shows are also streaming Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays around 8 a.m. after I post the MP3 copies at archive.org or radio4all.net. It's radio, the number 4all.net. You can also find them at blackkrishna.blogspot.com, and you can email me any news, tips, songs you want played, questions, answers, or suggestions at blackkrishna@gmail.com, blackkrishna@gmail.com. So do be in touch if you'd like. It's kind of fun for me to have a general idea of who's listening, but not a specific idea. Here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays on CKLN, Rude Awakening as your host. I do try and break down what's going on in the world today, and the wicked, wicked, wicked men who do run the world, and their latest manifestations and how they affect us. So, got a jam-packed show for you today based on that. But a quick look at what's happening today at the Toronto Star here. Says OPP officer dies after roadside shootout. Definitely a tough job. Got to remind people out there that the police do have a difficult job. They don't always do a great job. They don't always do a bad job. But all things considered, for a city this size, we're doing okay when it comes to the respective amounts of corruption that we can see, at least on a day-to-day basis. And, of course, behind the scenes, things can tend to get a bit wacky here. So let's shout out this OPP officer and see what happened here, according to Betsy Powell from yesterday's Toronto Star. An Ontario provincial police officer died Monday after being involved in a shootout on a quiet rural road in southwestern Ontario. A 70-year-old man, also wounded by gunfire, is considered the number one suspect, OPP Commissioner Julian Fantino told a news conference. OPP Constable Vu Pham was responding to a, quote, routine call around 10:18 a.m. when he took the initiative to pull over a white pickup truck on North Line near Seaforth, about an hour north of London, Ontario, Fantino said. Pham, 37, was attempting to, quote, stop a vehicle, and in doing so was confronted by an armed suspect, Fantino said. The married father of three was airlifted to London Health Sciences Center, where doctors tried to save his life. He died late Monday afternoon. Quote, I am deeply saddened by the loss of this young, brave officer, Fantino said in a statement. No fan of Fantino, folks, but, he's doing and saying what he's supposed to be saying with respect to this, and that's a good thing. He'll make his other officers, the officers he's in charge of, feel a little better about this. A 70-year-old man was being treated in London Victoria Hospital. Charges are pending, Fantino said. The commissioner would not confirm dramatic witness accounts that multiple shots were fired as Pham engaged in a gun battle across the desolate two-lane road running alongside still snow-covered fields. Quote, the guy was laying in the ditch and the police officer was on the other side of the road in the ditch, but he was standing up and they were both shooting back and forth at each other. Faith Weber of nearby Brussels, Ontario, told Wingham radio station CKNX. Quote, when I was there, there were probably about 5-6 shots that were already went off, and then we had to move back farther, and then there was more shots going off. Weber said more police arrived, and the gunfire ended. Fantino would not confirm news reports suggesting Pham was en route to, quote, a domestic, unquote, call when he pulled over the van. Aerial photographs show the black and white cruiser stopped behind a wide white Dodge pickup, both with their doors ajar. The province's special investigative unit has been called in. The SIU is a civilian agency that examines incidents involving police and civilians that result in serious injury or death. Quote, OPP officers became involved in a standoff with a man at 82352 North Line in Huron County, unquote, said spokeswoman Monica Houdon. It appears Pham was on his own at the time of the, quote, encounter, and the officers who raced to the scene after the fact were, quote, were not able to help Officer Pham because he was already wounded at that time, unquote. Pham and his wife Heather were raising their three children, Tyler 12, Jordan 10, and Joshua 7, in Wingham, Ontario, a community of about 3,000. Pham, who was born in Vietnam and joined the police force in 1995, had previously served with the OPP in Cochrane and West Parry Sound. He was currently posted to the Huron County Detachment. Quote, he was very friendly and family-oriented, unquote, said Mike Logan, president of the Wingham Minor Hockey Association. Pham's three sons play in the league, and he was director on the league executive. Quote, he enjoyed watching and cheering them on, Logan said last night. Quote, our thoughts are with this police officer and his family and friends and the broader policing family, Premier Dalton McGuinty said at the provincial legislature. So this is an example of how dangerous it is out there to be a cop, especially these days, where our culture through video games and violent music and violent TV and CSI and Law and Order and all this other stuff out there that's just getting us, teaching us how to commit crimes, basically, and avoid forensic detection. You know, and plus the shrinking economy and so on. It's going to get more dangerous for all of us, especially police out there who are called upon to confront dangerous people. So definitely shout-outs to those doing a good job. And keep in mind, folks, 30 years ago, Bob Marley said, "It was I who shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy." So so all you cats out there who are still saying F the police because it got kind of hot in the 80s, it's a mistake. You can start street beef, you can't finish. And at some point, you may need the police on your side, since the state has a monopoly on the use of force in our culture. Now, I don't know why this guy was stuck. And there are certain certain concerns there. There is a situation going on, which I'm not at liberty to discuss in much detail, but I do have enough information to know that there is a situation where apparently a colleague's colleague who's managed to extricate himself from some of the legal obligations to the system here is being was actually taken down a little bit hard by police, and we do have some proof of that. So I may or may not run with that story coming up in the next few days, but currently that situation is a little sensitive, so I'll leave it. But of course, as one would expect, there are good and bad police officers there. But what situation are they in? You know, everybody has a boss, and if you're fighting in Iraq, Afghanistan right now as a soldier, and you can see, you know, month after month, year after year, redeployment after redeployment, if you can see, you know, what kind of a waste of time it is to be there, how pointlessly dangerous it is, how you're only fueling the companies that are basically picking apart those countries like vultures. You're basically providing security for them to steal everything. So people in these positions, in positions of security, law enforcement, the military, they are sold a culture where, you know, you follow orders above all. You close ranks and you support each other, your brothers in arms, as it were. And in that culture, in that environment, it is very difficult to question some of the orders coming from up top. But there are those who do, and I am just looking for an article here at Infowars.com to tie into this. Pardon me here. All right, well, I don't know if I can leave Ice Cube playing this stuff. But I'm going to look for this article because basically NYPD, police, officer, quotas, InfoWars. This was actually repeated in a local... There we go. All right, so folks out there in CKLN Radio Land, here on the 9th of March, this is an article courtesy of InfoWars.com, one of the reasons why I recommend them every show, because you get an idea of what's happening in different parts of the world, especially in Western countries, but whatever's happening here, or whatever's happening there, whatever's happening in England, we are part of a standardized, globalized culture being created by the New World Order, basically the Anglo-American establishment, the old European moneyed families, and some of their American oligarchical descendants, working together with the power brokers around the world, in Asia, in Africa, in South America, and so on, creating a fiat money system where the chief European central banks of the world print money from nothing and lend it to the rest of the world. Also, the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank does that, and banks in general do that, where they basically, if you go in to borrow $20,000, the bank will print that they have $20,000 in their balance sheet, and then all of a sudden start re-lending it or investing it or whatever, just because they... That's how they create money, by you agreeing to pay it back. And that's one of the reasons why they encourage so many loans. Back in the day, like 50, 100 years ago, people used to save up for a house. You might even live with your folks. But once you had your house, it was your house. And the rest of your money was funny money, and you could just play with it and have a blast. And that's what built up the affluence in this part of the world. But since we got to this system where people are taking 30, 40-year mortgages, things have changed somewhat. So there is a new world order out there. The new world order is controlling all of our major institutions, our governments, our foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, Ford Foundation, and so on, where the super rich of the world basically launder their money into tax-free schemes to fund different organizations to socially re-engineer the world. So the cops are caught in this, and the cops in Toronto are caught in this too. And I'm going to break down a parallel article from just 10 hours away in New York about what's going on. This is NYPD officer admits false arrests to fill quotas, from Jim Hoffer at ABC Local 7 News in New York, courtesy of a reprint at Infowars.com. It says here, an Eyewitness News investigation talks to a police officer who reveals the pressure they are under to make quotas. This will be explained in a sec. Officer Polanco says one police plaza's obsession with keeping crime... No? Sorry about that. There we go. Again, I DJ the show live here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, so I'm trying to go with the flow. Did not know I'd be breaking down our relationship with the police this morning, but hey, might as well, because it's an important relationship to break down. So, back to the article here. Officer Polanco says one police plaza's obsession with keeping crime stats down has gotten out of control. He claims precinct commanders relentlessly pressure cops on the street to make more arrests and give out more summonses, all to show headquarters they have a tight grip on their neighborhoods. Quote, they have to meet a quota, one arrest and 20 summonses, said Officer Polanco. Quote, at the end of the night, you have to come back with something. You have to write somebody, you have to arrest somebody, even if the crime is not committed, the number's there. So our choice is to come up with that number, says Officer Polanco. And that's where the article ends here on InfoWars, and there's a video here of it as well. But I'm going to go over to the original ABC local story here, where it is continued. So, here we go. And this is Officer Adil Polanco, A-D-I-L Polanco. Looks like an Indian or maybe West Indian man here. Our primary job is not to help anybody. Our primary job is not to assist anybody. Our primary job is to get those numbers and come back with them, said Officer Polanco. Eyewitness News asked, quote, why do it? Quote, they have to meet a quota, one arrest and 20 summonses. This audio recording exclusively obtained by Eyewitness News seems to back up Officer Polanco's assertion of a quota. You can listen to one officer as he lectures his rank and file officers during roll call at the 41st precinct. So basically one of the cops in there freaking out over this recorded it, or somebody managed to record this and sneak out a copy. That's the kind of situation the police are in, folks. If you're part of that, if you're part of the blue-black army, at 99 their uniforms kind of changed to black. It's still tinged of blue, but they're pretty much black now as part of the larger New World Order global enforcing plan. But if you're in there, you got to be freaking out over you know what your job is, over the security conditions you're being asked to work under, as the bigger problems in society that create crime aren't taken care of, and you have to deal with more and more dangerous situations. And of course, you know what you know, what are you going to be asked to do to your city? And and this is an example of what police officers are being asked to do in New York. A friend of mine here in Toronto said to me the other day that she, a friend of hers, had a baby in the car, and the baby just sort of innocently wriggled sort of one arm out a little strap in the seat, something that would have been caught by any given parent, something that probably happens thousands of times a day. Police officer nearby saw that, bang, gave him a ticket, and that was that. So this is what happens. Another friend of mine yesterday said that he and his dad were driving around, and his dad, about 60 feet from a right turn lane, got into the diamond lane, because that was the right turn lane. But he got in there, you know, 60, 70 feet, a little bit early, perhaps by maybe a couple of car lengths, and he was pulled over, and the officer was saying to him, and he didn't speak English that well, but the officer was saying, making a right turn. Officer was saying, three people only. You can't be the only person in the car if you're going to be in this lane. And you know, you can see what they're being asked to do. Getting back to the article here. Quote, things are not going to get any better. It's going to get a lot worse, says a police officer in an audio recording from 41st Precinct in New York. He lays out clearly that they need to bring numbers. Quote, if you think 1 in 20 is breaking your balls, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be doing a lot more than what they're saying, says the officer. In another recording, the 41st Precinct Patrol Supervisor appears to step up the pressure to write more and more summonses. Quote, next week, 25-1, 35-1, and until you decide to quit this job and go to work at a Pizza Hut, this is what you're going to be doing till then. Do you understand? Asked the patrol officer. Quote, he's being clear, and the only choice is that we have to do it, said Officer Adil Polanco, again whistleblowing to ABC 7 News Local in New York. Eyewitness News asked, are you telling me they're stopping people for no reason? Is that what you're saying? Quote, we are stopping kids walking upstairs to their house, stopping kids going to the stores, young adults, in order to keep the quota, answered Officer Polanco. Quote, yeah, they locked us up for nothing, said Zebulon Colborn. The Colborn brothers say they and three other friends were victims of quotas. All were arrested a few months ago after one of them had fallen while racing each other. Eyewitness News asked, you fell and that's how you hurt your eye? Quote, yeah, and they just wanted to arrest us. I told them I fell, but that didn't matter to them, said Elijah Colborn. All five were accused of engaging in tumultuous and violent conduct that caused public alarm, given a summons for unlawful assembly and locked up overnight. Now, folks, one quick thing out there, and I've had to explain to people, why the hell should I learn all this crap? Well, in principle and in practice, in a fair legal system, the police, the enforcement arm of the state, would not get involved unless they see a clear sign of somebody's private property being damaged or of public property being damaged or threatened, or unless somebody calls them. So it says here, all five were accused of engaging in tumultuous and violent conduct that caused public alarm, given to summons for unlawful assembly and locked up overnight. But no member of the public actually called the police on them. Now, if a member of the public calls a cop and says, hey, my neighbor won't keep it down, that guy won't do this, his dog keeps barking, he's walking around naked. And fair enough. You know, call a cop. Cops should come over and say, look, you can't bother other people in this culture. But when the police are being increasingly dictated to and increasingly told to go after those of us in society without being called to by other members of society, it sets a bad and worsening precedent. So, but again, you can see it's not F the police. It's I shot the sheriff, because this cop is being super brave and whistleblowing. Let's get back to the article. Eyewitness News asked, so you're locked up waiting to see the judge, right? Yeah, answered the Colborn brothers. Eyewitness News asked, quote, then what do? Quote, we don't see the judge. They let us out the back door after they kept us for a day and some change, said Elijah Colborn. So just to, so the cop can make his quotas, he's got to nail you. And then so the cop doesn't get in trouble by actually having this go to trial and having everything be exposed as ridiculous, they'll let you go. So a little game of catch and release is being played out there just to make quotas, just because the people in charge, the powers that be evil in charge of our institutions, including our government and our police forces worldwide, are corrupt, and they want to get their police to harass their citizens. And if you've seen countries worldwide, folks, where this has happened, where police states, as it were, which is a terrible term. It's a term probably chosen to divide and conquer us so that we keep saying police state, and the police go, what? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with police? And so the police kind of close ranks, and we close ranks, and we forget. It's actually a banker state. It's a bankster state. And so we got to keep in mind that the banksters, the central banksters of the world, are behind pushing all these policies through their various tentacles. So I'm going to finish off this article and then break out a clip of another enforcement mechanism, another enforcement arm, the Green Police. But this is very, very important, so I definitely want to break this down, because what's happening in New York, just 10 hours from Toronto, as part of changes taking place in a system run by the New World Order, is quite probably also happening here, and I've got some circumstantial evidence of that. The charges were dropped, but Officer Polanco says the patrolmen still got five summonses towards their monthly quota. Quote, at the end of the night, you have to come back with something. You have to write somebody. You have to arrest somebody. Even if the crime is not committed, the number's there, so our choice is to come up with the number. One police plaza declined our request to interview the 41st Precinct Commander, but Deputy Commissioner Paul Brown said, quote, police officers, like others who receive compensation, are provided productivity goals, and they are expected to work. Officer Polanco says if they are just goals, why are officers who fail to make them reassigned to different shifts or relocated far from home? That's right, folks. You see what's going on. You see what happens to people in there who ask questions. They see it in the Army. You might get fragged. You might get transferred. You might get given crap detail. And in here locally, you might live in Scarborough, and you might be asked to police things in Kitchener. and that could be a colossal pain in the butt. So it's the consequence of not making the numbers of quotas, he says, that forces officers to give out bogus summonses. Quote, I cannot be more honest than I've been. There's no reason for me to lie. There's no reason for me to get into the trouble I am, because I could have kept quiet and made the money, said Officer Polanco. And that is the end of the article at Infowars.com, also at abclocal.go.com/WABC for Eyewitness News. So, and as we can see, this also reveals that the media, if you go to Infowars.com, 90% of their news stories are from the mainstream media. They're rare nuggets like this that are worth checking out, so definitely check that out. And as I've been saying for years here on CKLN Radio, pretty much since the summer of 2006, if the establishment is going to put police officers everywhere, do be sure to say hello. Give them a nod. Give them a hi. Engage in a little conversation. They are being told that every single member of the public is potentially dangerous. They're being told that we could all be terrorists. A couple weeks ago when I was stopped by, when we were at Toronto City Hall here at Nathan Phillips Square. Incidentally, they ripped out the Speaker's Corner at Nathan Phillips Square in front of the Churchill statue. I just saw that yesterday walking up Queen Street after the show. And I can't believe they ripped out the official Speaker's Corner in front of the Churchill statue on the southwest corner of Nathan Phillips Square outside of Toronto City Hall. So hopefully they're just giving it a little spit and polish and they're going to put it back. But if not, our official Speaker's Corner, where any member of the public, any citizen of Toronto could get up and say their piece. Hardly everyone did. We did at Toronto Truth Seekers, Toronto 9/11 Truth, and other groups. We did, but hardly anyone does. But the fact that it's been taken away is a very, very ominous sign with respect to our free speech rights here in this city and in this country and worldwide. Because again, we are all part of the same globalist system. So what is the globalist system? Well, I'm gonna let Catherine Albrecht and Michael Shaw break that down for you just a little bit here. This is an organization called ICLEI in Toronto. And since we are starting off with Toronto-centric terms today, let's have Michael Shaw on the Catherine Albrecht Show.
Joining us this hour, I am so delighted to welcome Michael Shaw.
One of the key environmental arms of enforcement.
You may know him from our new blockbuster documentary,
Shadow Government. Whose central arm is located here in Toronto.
I had the distinct pleasure of visiting his beautiful property in Santa Cruz, California, and interviewing him.
They are located at Richmond and Spadina. They're responsible for implementing the United Nations environmental and sustainable development changes at the local government
have you
level.
On my radio show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on your radio show, Catherine.
Well, you've got to be kind of in a happy dance place in some ways, because so much of what you've been saying all this time has been vindicated by recent revelations that these people are full of hot air, cough, cough. No pun intended. Full of hot air. They've been lying to us. They've been using these lies to manipulate people's ownership of property and their use of their property. How have you been feeling the last couple of weeks as this stuff has really begun hitting the headlines and people are backpedaling away from this global warming scare?
Well, I'm in no sense of glee. There are plenty of scams. This one's being busted in the newspaper. But the fraud of global warming is carried on not by Copenhagen conferences. The fraud of global warming in this country and really around the world is being implemented at the local level through an NGO called ICLEI. ICLEI stands for the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. Their subtitle is Local Governments for Sustainability. And you can go In the United States, there are 600 cities that are dues-paying members of this ICLEI organization. And their purpose is to translate the global warming fraud into local policy. And I can tell you here in Santa Cruz, we have a global warming czar. It comes out of the ICLEI organization, paid for by taxpayers here. And our local rules are changing so too as affect land use and transportation systems, so that the global warming scam is continuing unabated, notwithstanding what has happened in our national press.
You know, I got to tell you, the PR privacy advocate and activist in me is coming to the fore right now, and I feel a new URL coming on called Sickly, which would be Stop Ickly. Sickly.com. You know, it really is. This is a sickness. It's an illness. It's a disease. And you know this better than really anybody. Give our listeners a little bit of background about your beautiful property there in Santa Cruz and how you became personally interested in this topic because of the abuse that you have suffered at the hand of these local planners.
Well, we bought this parcel of property, 75 acres, just a stone's throw from the ocean. In 1986, it's zoned for 30 houses, and we attempted to get a subdivision for four lots. Now, 25 years later, and I can tell you there is no permit ever to have been issued, and in that process, a very grueling process, we've endured 7 years of litigation on this subject, and I conclude as a result of that litigation that in this state, California, the notion, the ideal of private property is dead. You can use your property if it fits the politico's objectives. As we bought the property, it was a piece that half of it was in oak forest, covered with poison oak. The walls of poison oak were 40 feet tall. You couldn't even get into that part of the landscape. And the other was all in European grasses, suitable for cattle grazing. So we began the process of restoring the native plant dynamic, and in that process we've unleashed about nearly 200 species of native plants. They now dominate the property. We spend probably 20,000 man hours a year in managing the weeds and controlling that seed bank. And the consequences of that is that we have been on the cover of an international science journal for our breakthrough achievement of restoring a native plant environment. I began that process certainly with no help from the county, but as you proceed in this process, they get deeper and deeper entrenched in their opposition to your use of the land, not because you've created something special, but simply because I've shown them up.
Yeah, you make them look bad. You know, here they're saying private property owners are evil. They destroy property. They ruin the water table. They destroy natural plants. And here you are essentially rescuing this property from abandonment and from being overrun with non-native species.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. We are back, CKLN listeners. That was Michael Shaw from freedomadvocates.org, where I got that interview, freedomadvocates.org. He's a lawyer, beautiful property out in Santa Cruz, California, as Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who herself is an expert on spy chips, RFID chips, and all the spying technology out there being employed by the New World Order on us. So definitely check out Catherine Albrecht, Catherine with a K, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Albrecht, A-L-B-R-E-C-H-T, or go to spychips.com to see more of her work, and go to freedomadvocates.org to see more of Michael Shaw's work. So we started off the show with a little mourning of an OPP police officer. I don't want this guy with three kids to get killed in the middle of a small town just west of Toronto, and nobody wants any police officer to get killed, no matter what they say, unless that guy's expressly done something horrible. And even so, it's not really my call to make. But we started off with that, with the story of an OPP officer. Then we switched over to an NYPD officer revealing the fact that they're being pressured to make quotas to avoid being accused of hanging out at donut shops. And there's some evidence of that happening here in Toronto based on the increasing number of fines going out there. And, of course, people say, what, the city's broke, so they have to do this. And you know, a buddy of mine said, wow, they should crack down on crime. It's like they're not cracking down on crime. To crack down on crime accurately would mean this is in the Franklin cover-up. I read this book recently. Black senator from Nebraska, Senator Ernie Chambers, made this point. He said, the drug dealers here at the street level, there's no way they have the money or power to bring incredible amounts of drugs into the Omaha, Nebraska area. So by just cracking down at the lower levels, you're basically just feeding off this parasitical system that throws young black guys in jail. And by not stopping the bigger crimes, you allow the smaller crimes to persist. And so that's one part of it. But the other part of it is with stuff like, you know, grabbing these five kids in, or these three kids in New York, as was in the ABC 7, local article from New York about the situation, just grabbing them, holding them in jail, and then letting them go. Do we really want to be in a society where we're caught and released like that? You know, and you might say, hey, well, things happen. There's collateral damage, and so on. But it's as it keeps getting worse, it'll keep trapping us. And that's why I played the clip as well with ICLEI, ICLEI.org, a United Nations affiliated organization, a branch of the United Nations whose head office is located in Toronto at the corner of Richmond and Spadina at 401 Richmond Street, ICLEI.org, though they have satellite offices around the world, and then they have cities who are members of ICLEI, and as Mr. Shaw said, they get an ICLEI toolkit, and they implement all these wonderful local changes planned globally. Now, for you locals out here in Toronto, or you locals anywhere listening to this show, it might be time for you to plan your local changes to avoid some UN bureaucrats doing that. But, you know, with respect to this, there is a ton of brainwashing going out there on the green front, especially here in Toronto. So I'm going to go back to the Dr. Catherine Albrecht show from February 10th, 2010 with Michael Shaw, where they break down the Green Police. We start off with the police. Check out the Green Police and see what their plans are potentially for you.
Tell them about hybrids, says ain't no siren.
Is it good for you, baby? It wasn't good for the environment.
Oh! Hey, you getting a sense of that Audi green Super Bowl commercial coming on, listening to that? You know, we had a guest on a couple of weeks ago who was talking about Gillette's new campaign. You're going to go, what is she talking about? But Gillette's new campaign in India to try to get women to shame men into shaving. In India, it's considered sort of a symbol of virility, and a lot of men have a beard and mustache in India. And Gillette is just not selling enough razor blades, so what they did was they mounted this huge campaign to equate failure to shave with laziness and social inadequacy, thus trying to use sexual pressure, women pressuring men, saying, I won't date you unless you shave, to sell more razor blades. Well, that kind of pressure is very effective in lots of ways. There's a guy mounting a whole campaign against that in India, and more power to him. He was a guest on the program, if you want to check out the archives about that. But we're seeing subtle pressures in lots of ways to equate using incandescent light bulbs, for example, or using plastic instead of paper, or instead of carrying your own bag to bag your groceries. All sorts of pressure from the supposed Green Police, and the song that we just played, obviously, kind of playing into the same theme. Let me ask our guest, Michael Shaw, who is an expert and an activist and an advocate on these issues. What did you think of that Audi green car Super Bowl commercial with the Green Police sort of throwing that guy to the ground when he made the wrong choices from a green perspective? Did you see it?
Well, I saw it after the Super Bowl, and it really puzzled me because I couldn't contemplate what it was that Audi was trying to do with this ad, and yet the message was a fine one to have delivered, but to have that delivered by an automobile manufacturer, I thought was a bit strange. It is the world that was pictured that we are heading toward unless we make a real abrupt turn. Here in Santa Cruz, kind of the original test grounds for this international program that includes environmental activism was centered here. So the things that you've described are the directions our local government has been giving us now for two decades.
Yeah, and you know, Santa Cruz really is kind of the heart of that political correctness, you know, environmental hippie-troopy stuff. That really is Santa Cruz. I mean, that's when I think of Santa Cruz, that's what I picture. I used to live, you know, just probably 15 minutes from Santa Cruz in San Jose, so I certainly know the area very well, maybe 20 minutes, but I know the area very well, and I understand, you know, what you're up against there, Michael. It's, of all the places to own some beautiful property, Santa Cruz is one that doesn't surprise me that, you know, that you'd have all those restrictions. Speaking of that Super Bowl commercial, for people who have not yet seen it, I want to go ahead and cue it up, and I want to play this ad just to give people a sense of what it is that we're up against and what the propaganda is. This ad was a very bizarre ad by Audi. I will say one thing. It was very effective, an effective use of their $3 million for their 30-second ad, because now the whole country is talking about Audi. And I guess it's kind of that old adage, you know, say whatever you want about me, insult me, call me names, but just spell my name right. And Audi, I can't remember the last time anybody discussed Audi in the news. I mean, it's like such a boring car brand that nobody even thinks about these guys. But Audi apparently has a hybrid car. I didn't even know that. So they did achieve their objective to have the whole world know that Audi does have a hybrid car. We all know that now. A lot of us may not want to drive one on the basis of this ad and other things. But let's go ahead and listen to the ad. And it is a difficult ad to follow along. We'll put a link up to it at KatherineAlbert.com. And I will go ahead and narrate it as we go, because there are certain pieces of it that are visual. So let's go ahead and play that.
Okay, so it's 3708, okay. Paper plastic.
Plastic.
That's the magic word. What? Green police.
Okay, so he's at the grocery store.
System, plastic boy.
The guy is throwing his face down onto the onto the conveyor belt. Got another couple of police outside of somebody's house going through the recycling bin. They found a battery. Here's a guy who didn't put his compost in the right bin.
Tragedy strikes tonight where a man has just been arrested for possession of an incandescent light bulb.
What do you guys think about plastic bottles now?
The water setting is at 105.
They're in a jacuzzi, being arrested, handcuffed.
You're good to go, sir.
They're checking cars to see what they're driving. Eco-check checkpoint. Green has never felt so right, it says. Green car of the year, and then he drives off in an Audi.
Yeah. Please step out of the car and put him on the hood.
And that's for having a styrofoam cup. What a weird ad. Do you think, Michael, based on your experience, and you've got a couple of decades now fighting the green police very, very specifically in your own property, do you think we're going to get to the point where there are going to be eco-police not only checking whether you've you know, put a well on your property or built a little outbuilding, but actually checking to see if you're using incandescent bulbs and checking on other things like that?
Well, I think that I think we have a whole lot worse in store for us than that. What I learned coming out of my Santa Cruz experience was that Santa Cruz was an original signer onto a UN program called Agenda 21. We've got to remember about the UN that it is about, we have people attending the UN meetings, and they come back, and the mantra, the constant discussion, is about how to assess, monitor, and control. This works right into the dynamic that you've been so involved in that the globalist plan.
It is all about control. And in fact, yesterday we talked about the planetary skin, which is a plan to monitor the CO2 emissions of every square foot on the planet and link them up with us. We'll be right back with our guest right after this. I've actually got kind of some bigger concerns about this whole thing. I actually think that there's kind of a spirit of control that actually has a spiritual component to it. Do you get the sense that these people almost feel like they're on kind of a religious mission of their own to impose this this green religion on us?
Sure. I think so. There are three documents that control this globalist Agenda 21 program. One is called the Earth Summit, the Earth Charter. And that's only a few-page document. It was written by Stephen Rockefeller and Mikhail Gorbachev and the UN's Maurice Strong. And it's Gorbachev who says about the Earth Charter, he says, this is the new Ten Commandments.
Ooh. Wow.
It will replace. He says it will replace the Ten Commandments.
No kidding.
Yes, clearly.
Are there 10 of them? Are there 10 mandates?
No, there are not 10, but they are the model, the direction for treating the earth properly, and the treating of the earth, the Gaia worship, is to replace the old-fashioned Ten Commandments.
Now, you actually say something very, you know, it's one of those moments you get goosebumps watching shadow government when you say, this is evil. Evil exists. I mean, it's such a powerful line. I actually think your line when you say evil exists is probably the most powerful line in the entire film. Talk to us about that.
Well, what has happened is that globalists, I'll refer to them loosely that way, globalists have formed together for the purpose of the creation of a one-world government. And, you know, some of the highlights of that one-world government include their commitment to the abolition of private property. That's the cornerstone of the Agenda 21 program. It calls for global education for global citizenship. That is what's happening in our schools. It's mandated by the Department of Education, and you know, our students are not getting their history. They're not getting their they're not getting their basics in the nature of the American experience, and that's why we're increasingly falling down. And the third basic tenet of Agenda 21 is to control population, and that's where so much of the work you've done fits in as proof that this program is advancing. But in the end, says the Agenda 21 protocol, there is a call for an 85% reduction in the human population.
Yeah, how are they going to pull that off, huh?
Well, you know, I think there are plenty of ways, and it's easy enough. We can start.
Well, actually, speaking of reduction of human population, I just want to read something. This is from Revelation, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8 says, "And I looked," and this is the King James Version here, "and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth," in other words, over one quarter of the earth, "to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." And what I find so interesting about this passage, this is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you might be familiar with that, is when it says, "And behold a pale horse," this was originally written by the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos off the coast of Greece when he was in exile as a very old man. He had this vision of Revelation of the end of time, of what would be happening in the times when things really started getting hot and heavy towards the end. And this pale horse, the word for pale in the original Greek that John wrote is actually chloros. And you may know the word chloros, or the Greek root chloros, from the word chlorophyll. It means green. And when the translators, the original translators taking this from the Greek into the King James, into the English for the King James Bible, they said a green horse. There's no such thing as a green horse. Maybe they mean a sickly, pale kind of a horse. You know, he's just kind of green, you know, just looking a little bit peaked. And so they translated the word as pale, but the actual word is chloros, meaning green. So I thought that was very interesting that one of the horsemen of the apocalypse is a green horse. Some people want to liken this to Islam, green being the color of Islam and the color of numerous Islamic flags. Other people say, hey, this whole green agenda is going to be, you know, one of the excuses for literally taking control of and eliminating a quarter of the world's population. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of an interesting side note to all of this.
I think that is. And clearly, though, the green movement is the cover for the Agenda 21 program, because at the core, Agenda 21, in its own words, calls for, they phrase it in terms of what they call the three E's. And the three E's are, first, equity. And equity means using sociology and using changes in the law in order to control human beings. And we see that today. We go to the Declaration of Independence. It talks about the nation being founded on the principles of equal justice, which means that the law is applied equally to all people, and that there are certain principles, namely the political recognition of unalienable rights, that serve, guide, and limit government and the application of justice.
Music to my ears, but that's not where we're living in, is it?
No, it isn't, because today, as an example, there are 2,000 NGOs in the country. One of those NGOs is the American Bar Association. The purpose of an NGO is accredited by the United Nations for purposes of implementing Agenda 21, also called Sustainable Development. So we have law schools across the country teaching principles of social justice, not the principles of equal justice. Social justice is using the law differently at different times to different groups of people in order to affect a social purpose or to promote the common good, which of course is something determined by the people in a ruling seat. So the whole basis of the American experience, the reason why our Declaration of Independence was acknowledged as the greatest achievement of mankind in all of history, why it is being lost is in part because we are pursuing this first E of sustainable development called equity.
Maestro.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That's right. Blame me for breaking it down today. Blame me for breaking down what's happening with respect to the greenwashing of TDOT. Because that's what's going on right now. We can see that. And the social engineering that Dr. Catherine Albrecht and lawyer Michael Shaw discussed in early February, mid-February, on Dr. Catherine Albrecht's show is evidenced around us. So what can we do? Well, take some pictures of it. Tell other people. Pass out flyers. Make a blog. Make a YouTube video. Petition your local officials. Petition your city councilors, your MPPs, your MPs. Just get active in these issues, because it's happening around us as we speak. Both the social engineering, where groups are basically given funding and mandates to push for the rights of select groups, whether it's minorities or the disabled or whomever, and by pushing for these individual rights, we are told to lose our collective individual rights. So, for example, rights should be universal, you know, and we should just be nice. So that should take care of things. But when different groups are given power, it makes other groups jealous and so on, and it pits them at odds, and it's part of the divide and conquer strategy. So a lot of our social engineering through our socialization gets us to be very, very paranoid about each other as a result of our specific individual classification. So I would recommend that we reevaluate those. But I'm going to an article here from Linda McQuaig from the Toronto Star. I interviewed Ms. McQuaig a couple of years ago with respect to the North American Union. She wrote a great book called Holding the Bully's Coat. And she said, she's written tons of stuff, great stuff. She's exposed stuff on Iraq and Halliburton and on and on and on. But for some reason, the mainstream media has interviewed her about her books. For some reason, the mainstream media will not let her write about the North American Union, the SPP.gov, Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreements, the sequel to NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, from the mid-90s. This sequel that launched in 2005, which is scheduled to be completed by this year, to basically create a continental trading, economic, and political bloc between Canada, America, and Mexico that's similar to the European Union trading bloc. It's a great new film, and it looks great. Can't say for sure because it isn't done yet, but so far all the pieces of the puzzle look pretty good. Great new film called United We Fall from filmmakers Dan Dix and Brian Law. You can see the trailers at pressfortruth.ca, pressfortruth.ca for more on that. But Ms. McQuaig here is saying today, March 9th, 2010 as a compassionate woman, from what I understood of her. Poor suffer the most in deficit wars. And you're hearing all sorts of tales of austerity out there. This is part of this, folks. One of the reasons the cops are being sicked on us is they're being trained to go after us for every single violation. They're being trained to collect taxes. There's new taxes on everything. My 911 emergency bill for my Fido cell phone. I just got a text message yesterday. It went from 50 cents to 75 cents a month. That's a 50% increase. Payphones in Toronto went from a quarter to 50 cents, doubling the cost of using a payphone, making it very, very difficult for some of the people out there, like the homeless and so on, who have to use payphones or those on welfare to afford a payphone anymore, and so on and so forth. And people are talking about, businesses I know are talking about massive increases in their energy bills, sometimes 100% increases. Now, a 13% sales tax here in this part of the world is completely insane. And a lot of Yanks come up here and they go, wow, 13% tax? Ah. But a 300% increase with respect to a tax or readjusted charges for your energy, a tax that's laundered through some sort of semi-scientific and socio-psychobabble, is basically what we're facing right now as part of the larger UN Agenda 21, as explained by Michael Shaw and Dr. Catherine Albrecht. So let's get to what our government's saying to us. Our government's saying to us right now, the federal government, the provincial government, the city of Toronto, they're all saying we're broke. We're going to have to cut back. We're cutting back on social services. We're cutting back in the only places we can. They're not cutting back in military spending. They're not saying let's get our, 5,000 troops out of Afghanistan and see if we can save any money there. They're not trying to renegotiate our national or provincial or city debts. They're just saying to the people of this country, sorry, folks, we know we taxed the snot out of you for the last 1,500 years, but we're broke, and we're going to have to come get more. So back to Ms. McQuaig's article. Poor suffer the most in deficit wars. One of the few iconic tales of Canadian politics revolves around how Paul Martin, as Liberal finance minister in the 1990s, wrestled the deficit to the ground with his bare hands. While there's some truth to it, the legend sidesteps an important question. Was Martin's ruthless, quote, hell or high water deficit slashing really the only thing that could have worked? Could a defter touch have solved the deficit problem without laying waste to so much of our social infrastructure in the process? All this is worth raising now that we've entered into another area of deficit hysteria, with governments and the business community making deficit elimination their top priority and shutting aside almost every other goal. This imaginary deficit, this, oh, we got this budget and oh, we can't afford it. They march when it comes to collecting taxes for their New World Order masters. You'll hear prime ministers year after year saying we've committed $50 billion towards paying down the national debt, when they won't tell us who we owe the debt to, why we owe that debt to them, when countries can print their own currency, debt and interest free, guaranteed by the resources of the country and the goodwill of the people to work. And this is what they had in America. This is what the Bank of Canada did. This is the Bank of Canada printed and money interest free and loaned it to the people and institutions of this country in the early part of the 20th century, and that helped up that helped build up our railway system, our highway system, massive progress with developing an infrastructure in this country for a relatively small amount of people that could connect all of us. But since those days, we have moved from borrowing most of our money from our own Bank of Canada, debt and interest free, to borrowing only about 5% of our money. Last number I saw, but it's a very small percentage, from our own Bank of Canada, debt and interest free, and in fact borrowing a majority of it from foreign bankers overseas. So keep that in mind, and keep in mind out there that any city or any governments at the city, at the municipal, provincial, or federal level can borrow from the Bank of Canada. So if people here in the city, or if our politicians in the city of Toronto are saying we're broke, it might be a good idea to pressure them to hit up the Bank of Canada for a debt and interest-free, or for an interest-free loan that we can pay back at our leisure to our own government. So anyway, back to Ms. McQuaig's article here. In that spirit, Finance Minister Jim Flaherty brought down an austerity budget last week that slashed $17.6 billion in planned government spending, and he promised to cut more deeply if necessary. Ah, what a courageous guy, Mr. Flaherty. If necessary, I'll do this again. Screw all you people more. If I have to, I'm just that type of debt-reducing hero. But while balanced books are an important goal, blindly worshiping them is awfully short-sighted. A family that celebrates having its finances balanced while several of its children lie unfed on the living room floor and the roof is about to collapse is clearly suffering from a warped sense of priorities. Go, Ms. McQuaig. Go, Ms. McQuaig. I think she likes Linda. She's beautiful, and she's a really nice person. Back in the 1990s, leading economists Pierre Fortin and Lars Oosberg, both past presidents of the Canadian Economic Association, argued that the long-term consequences of Martin's spending cuts would be devastating and that the economy could have grown its way out of the deficit problem instead with a little more time. But Martin, with the enthusiastic backing of the business community, insisted on plowing ahead aggressively with deep spending cuts. Just like today, tax increases were ruled out, even though they would have been more equitable, requiring the well-to-do to share in the pain. And there is a bit of what does not happen, folks. So, again, check out Linda McQuaig's work in today's Toronto Star for more. And the Star will do this. The Star has to print articles like this. The mainstream media has to do this to keep any sort of credibility. And people will point to articles like this to say to me, what? That was pretty good. And I'll say, yeah, but you're missing the tidal wave of BS that comes with it. So definitely break that down on a regular basis here, especially by chopping up the Metro whenever I can. So that was the Star. Again, we started off today's show with the death of an OPP officer. Shout outs to the cops out there. I know you're going to be feeling more paranoid over the next few weeks at just seeing one of yours get taken out like that, one of your brothers in arms. And so definitely chill out a bit, and we'll do our best here on the streets to try and keep the peace ourselves. So make your jobs a little easier. Broke into the Green Movement in ICLEI in the United Nations. And with respect to that, the United Nations out there is managing a program called Agenda 21. Go to freedomadvocates.org to learn more about that. Go to spychips.org to learn more about RFID chips and how they're in everything now. They're in a lot of products out there. They have an individual chip, and that is meant to track every transaction on planet Earth. And so there's a bit of Dr. Michael Shaw and Dr. Catherine Lawyer Michael Shaw and Dr. Catherine Albrecht's work on UN Agenda 21. The global warming hoax has been exposed. Keep in mind, folks, the global warming rapture takes global warming rapture takes our stuff. The war on terror rapture takes our rights. Broke down a bit of how 9/11 truth is being demonized yesterday. So look into those issues more, and do not be afraid to talk about them here in communist Canada. We are getting greenwashed. The powers that be evil, the New World Order, do want a global communist world government, and they are implementing that at the local level right now. Bit here on Infowars.com. Obama ready to appoint a former military intelligence official to run the TSA. Essentially, NORTHCOM, the U.S. Defense Department's division that's responsible for managing North America, there's an AFRICOM, there's an ASIACOM, and so on, they are responsible for this big takeover. So a number of our key bureaucratic positions are going to be replaced by military appointees, especially in the area of security when it comes to travel. We're already seeing how it's being made more difficult to travel. People are less inclined to with the body scanners and invasive searches and information off your cell phones and laptops just being downloaded and searched with no probable cause, with no reason to. And yet they're just saying, you know, this is normal now. And if they find something, you're screwed. And if they don't, you're screwed anyway, just because they invasively violated your privacy and searched your stuff. So keep an eye out for that. There are groups in this city doing great work on these things. TorontoTruthSeekers.com got a shout out. PressForTruth.ca got a shout out. ConspiracyCulture.com got a shout out. The Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Definitely got a shout out. TheFreedomLink.org, networking patriot sites worldwide and patriot groups out there. Because people realize, when you talk to people around the world about these issues, you realize we're all going through the same thing. We're all losing our rights. And anybody out there who says that the smartest thing to do when you're losing your rights is nothing is wrong or lying to you. So do keep that in mind.
A couple of websites to check out there in your daily surfing include naturalnews.com for the best health information you'll find, trendsresearch.com and internationalforecast.com for the latest in predictions about this recession, recovery, who knows, at Trends Research and at internationalforecaster.com. They help break it down. And, of course, Infowars.com. Ton of great stuff popping up there every single day. Mainstream nuggets, including the NYPD out there, officers, an officer admitting they have quotas now. And if there are quotas in this city, we've got to save our cops from fomenting an adversarial relationship with the people they're supposed to serve and protect. So let's go to the top, folks. Let's go to the people in charge of making policies in this part of the world and tell them what policies we want to see them make. That's enough for me here on March 9th, 2010 edition of Rude Awakening here on CKLN Radio. Mr. Colin Smith is off today, but he has contracted Mr. Michael Clifton to bring you a one flight up, 4 hours of jazz beginning in just a couple of minutes. Only thing that's on my mind is who's going to run this town tonight, and I will leave you with Jay-Z and Rihanna, who's going to run this town tonight. Actually, you know what? I'm going to flip over to On to the Next No One World Government, my track there, because that really does break down the world government scenario as best I could in 4 minutes. You don't have time to read a 4,000-word article? No problem, folks. I'll drop a four-minute song on you, and hopefully this helps you have a good, productive, fulfilling day. Getting out there, being yourself, being an individual, defending your country. I notice I'm the only person wearing a Canada toque now that the Olympics are over, but I just wear it for, you know, my own reasons. Hopefully y'all break out the colors and break out the actions to support them. Peace out, everybody. Have a great day.
I got a million ways to get it. Choose one. It's going down. The new world order's getting clowned. On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. Hold up. On to the next, no one world government. No thanks, spooks, 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 start shoving it. Al Gore, hockey stick, shovel it. Man, big, big, so cereal, imperial, bumble it. Triple gin, big gay, algin, guzzling. Some cold since March 07, so puzzling. UN launched that hunch when tax coming in like Pavlov. They treat us like dogs to use less than them. Ooh, Rockefeller's at the top, pledge allegiance to the rock. Eyes wide shut, doc, PhDs make the C's for militaries. Don't think they wouldn't lie for the IPCC. Can't get the weather for the weekend, please. Telling me in 20 years, we guaranteed to freeze. Newsweek cover for a 70s scheme. Global cooling back then, global warming now, please. Cease and desist, this is a citizen's arrest and development. Finally rebelling, yes. Pumping out CO2 with the weight I speak free. Green Hitler youth can't say to me. Can't quit till we free of the insanity. Saying carbon dioxide is bad for trees. On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. Hold up. Eugenics behind and viral schizophrenic. Control freak, soul weak, boot-licking menace. Yuppie puppy dog, recycled commie Rottweiler. Socialist with a fist, up your assets. Smile like they're saving the earth by enslaving the earth. Gold enslaving, paving graves in the third world. First world got a thirst. Greenwashing won't work, I'm not working out a problem. I'm a problem at work, I'm being a problem for jerks who lack spine attacks and increase the attacks till there's no going back. There's always going back. Piece of paper, don't need jack. Blue bin, mallet, bin Laden, bin found back. When the war on terror rapture was taking all our rights. Now the global war and rapture takes our stuff, gotta fight. Tough love, don't bite, but don't get bitten by the hardcore mind control victims in a prison plant. .com, drop bombs, pile Joe Blow. Up another scandal, climate gate show. They know they lied, admit they emails, trying East Anglia. You finding angles all the time and caught just in time to stop us coping with enslavement. Better fly her up and hit the pavement straight up. On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. Hold up. Depop plan, I pop carbon butter. Before you double your money, I cause trouble. Before you double that trouble, I'm gonna hustle harder than the bards of BS. Let's rumble. Can't be stopped. Plans popping off a lot. Lick a shot before you've been laid in block. Be stop and think if they really care what they try to stop. GMO food, mercury, and real toxic slot. Waste mine on disaster predictions based on fiction. This no movie, dereliction of duty. The prescription, let's see the uniform. Learn what's going on. Attack like Voltron till the Globot's gone. Get an addiction for freedom you keep for you and your children. Can't be chilling when it's chilly. And green villains say it isn't. Oh, no matter what, it's our fault. Earth worship, death calls. To heck with people now. What about the weather later? What? We got this. On to the next. No one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. On to the next. No one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. On to the next. No one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. On to the next. No one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. Yeah.
But have no fear, because I am here to save you. And someday, when the world is rid of Man-Bear Pig, everyone will say, thank you, Al Gore. You're super awesome.
Man-Bear Pig?